Okay, we are still in Perek Yud-Chet, slowly going through it. A lot of apophthegms, individual sayings, statements, wise statements that we're going to try to put together into some kind of theme. I start talking about laziness. Which is good because I'm very well practiced in that. Pasuk Tet, Gam Mitrapeh, even the lazy person here, the one who's slack, b'machto, in his work, Achu leval mashchi is a brother to the one who's destructive. Migdal Oz Shem Hashem, God's name is a tower of strength. Bo yirutz tzaddik b'nisgav, a tzaddik literally bo should re run in it, run to it, and it will be saved. And Hon Ashir, the wealth of the wealth of the rich, Kiryat Zo is fortress of strength, the Choman, Nisgava, Bamaskito, and he translates this here like a high wall in his imagination. See what Maskit means.
So he's saying that he thinks the money protects him. Is that the
Right,
idea?
that's clearly where he's going with that. We start with the idea of Gam Mitra Peb Mlachto Achu Val Mashchit, right? Someone who is lazy is basically is literally a brother, is akin to someone who's destructive, right? If you're not working to build something, you're breaking it down. But taking it metaphorically, the malacha we're talking about here is that of Sefer Mishlei. It's a metaphor for learning, practicing ethics, Avodat Hashem. And so Gam here says Gam, here we go. Gam mitrapeh means also is referring back to the previous pasuk. Divrei Nergan kimitalmim. The words of the grumpy, the complainer, are like blows. They hurt. They make everything, you have to make it fit. We talked about that last time. And both of those things are things that are mashchit, that destroy your ability to learn. You can be negative. We call the trap priors, right? I can't learn anything. Everything reinforces the fact that everyone else is terrible. I'll never learn anything new. The other reason is mitrapeh, laziness. I'm not going to take the effort in, because it takes effort to grow and to learn. So Mesilat Yesharim has a whole chapter on what we call zerizut, which is the opposite of laziness. And I said, Ba'amar, the pasuk says, Gam mitrapeh b'machto, achu l'bal mashchit, the lazy one. Is the brother to the destructive one. Yapal pi she'enu ha-mashchit, oseh terabi yado, you're not actively destructive, not doing evil with your own hands. Lo techeshev shu rachok mena. Don't think that you're so far from that. El achifu u'ben gilahu, you're a colleague to someone. That. And Shlomo later extends the metaphor. This is pasuk chaf dalet. You see that? He says, "Al sedei ich atzel avarti." I passed by the field of the lazy man. "Al kerem adam chaser lev," and by the vineyard, other person is not thinking. Hina ala kulo ki mshonim. It was full of thorns. Kasui panav charolim. Surface covered with, he translates, nettles, more thorns. Yeder abanam nerasu. Its fence of stone was destroyed. I paid attention. I looked, and I paid attention. I said, "I seem live." I paid attention to that. Riti lakachti. Sorry, I saw what was going on, and I learned the lesson from this field gone to seed. Mat shenot, mat tunimot. That a little bit of sleep, a little bit of rest. Mat chibuk yadayim, nishkav. A little bit of holding, clasping your hands and lying down, and then ba mitalech reshecha, and your poverty comes walking in. Machzorotecha, and your lack, ki ish magen, like a bodyguard. It'll stick to you. So letting your field go to seed, go to rot, ends up being destroyed, and it's a lot harder to come back from that. That's the metaphor of Mishlei. Valid. And the Ra'al, well, in the Mesilat Yesharim, goes through this in detail. And the idea of what laziness is. Nimuvad is the source for it. Nimuvad pshuto, ashirmiti. Besides the pshat, the literal meaning that, yeah, if you're not working, then things are going to fall apart. Real life takes work. That it's true. It is literally true. Shu ma shekoreh. That's what happens to your field if you're not working it. You need the shubach chachamim zrochanam bracha. The Chazal interpreted this midrash ne'eh. This is what they said in is in Yalkut Shimoni. This is it all came up with thorns. And that's talking about learning. That you're trying to learn, trying to figure out the thing you're learning at. And if you're not willing to put the work in, you're not going to figure it out. Like it's full of thorns, you can't get through. A sweet panav, its surface is covered with thorns. Since you didn't work on them, that then the person thinks he's learned something, hasn't, and will end up saying that the tahar is tameh, tameh is tahar. And breaks through the gate. Destroys all the siyag that Chachamim set up and will end up with nothing. Ma'an shoshazeh, what was the punishment? Shomo Parashu. And this is in Kohelet. It says, Paretz geder, yeshchenu nachash, breaking through the fence. The one who breaks through the fence will be bit by the snake. Only metaphor. Things will go bad if you're not putting the work into actually understanding you're learning correctly. Meaning, because what happens to the one who's lazy doesn't happen all at once. But just one little bit at a time. Without the person noticing it, without feeling it. They'll go from things will get a little bit worse to a little bit worse. Until you feel in your complete drowning in the evil end. That starts out just not doing the work that needs to be done. And then you're not going to learn. Because of a lack of learning, then when you try to learn more, you'll be missing the background. You're not going to understand anything. And if only that was the end of the bad that being lazy leads to. That would have been enough. But parakahu. What happens is you think I want to understand this. I'm going to try to understand this. You go let panim shalacha, and you'll understand it the right way. That's wrong. That's not kahalacha. Not really look at the background. Not gonna look. You're not gonna look up the sources. Always look up your sources when they're quoted in a. You actually care about what you're reading. Otherwise, you're not sure where it's going. Yeshchita emet ve'apcha. You destroy truth and turn it over and upend it. Ve'avar al takanot the gedarim, and you'll violate all the gedarim. All the rules that have been set up, the sofa, kiliyah, kemishpat, kol peretz geder, and in the end, you will be completely lost. So Amar Shlomo, so Shlomo says about this, Echazeh anochi ashit libi. I looked and I paid attention. Hiponanti al davar hazeh. I tried to understand what was going on. Iti godel hara, shabuhu ka'ares holech mitpashet ma'ad ma'at. That what happens is like poison that slowly spreads. And that its action isn't noticeable until the victim dies. So, much say no. That's what it means. Say a little bit of sleep, and then and then your poverty comes creeping along, again, and your lack becomes like a bodyguard stuck to you. Then nachnu roim, and we see with our own eyes, how many times a person knows what they need to do? Mitzametetzlo, and says, okay, it's true, I got to do this. Let's let nafsho, to save his own soul. Mitzah, what God commands him, what Creator commands him. Pikein, still you let it be. And the Chumashir this week is going to be about akrasia, which you remember that we started out during Mishlei as a translation of avelet. That's a Greek term for knowing the right thing, but not having the willpower to do it. And that's what he's talking about here. Lo mi chesron hakarat hachova hahi, You're not doing it, not because you don't realize what you need, you don't recognize the need, and not from some other reason preventing. That would be just cross that overwhelming feeling of laziness. I just don't want to move. Overcomes you. And if you ask the person who is lazy, who's not doing what they need to do, they'll have lots of excuses. It'll quote all sorts of quotes from Chazal, Mikraot, it'll give you sources from Tanakh, Atanut, and logical arguments, Asher Kolom Yerulo, everything he can come up with, according to his confused thinking, Lakelo, make things as easy as possible. Let him just rest. And he doesn't see she'enat. He doesn't see that these arguments and these reasons that you're thinking about them because of your own biases. They come from his just feeling of laziness. I just don't want to do it. I'll come up with some excuse. That's what it dominates him, and pulls his mind toward these excuses. So Yishma, he won't listen to the voice of the word of the wise and people who are understanding. As Mishle says later on, the lazy man is wise in his own eyes. Mishivetam, more than seven people who will try to give him reasons. So that's the problem with Atzilut. You're not going to know the truth. You're immediately going to come up with reasons for not doing what needs to happen. So you got to work. And so Shlomo continues with Migdol Oz Shem Hashem. God's name is a tower of strength. And the righteous run with it. And it reminds us of Pasuk Tehillim that we say in benching, right? Migdol Yeshua Malko. God is a tower of strength to his king. Zechesim does good to his Mashiach. Right? That's the tower, the metaphor of safety from harm. God, that tower protects us. But there's a danger in relying on the safety of your fortress. This is from Scott Alexander. I quoted him before. He's a psychiatrist who had twins about 2 years ago. He likes writing about them. So, this is one of the stories about his twins. My son has created a primitive pillow fort. My daughter, unable to break her way in, has wandered into the kitchen and is eating his half-finished dinner while he screams, "No, mine!" from behind his walls. I could stop her, but I think it's important to let children learn important lessons like when the enemy's fortifications are impregnable, pillars of the countryside until starvation forces them out. And that's the danger of relying on a Migdol Oz, and a tower of strength. You're stuck inside. You're not going to go anywhere. Okay, that's connection. That's someone who's mitra peb, someone who's lazy. Because in order to grow, you have to leave your comfort zone. So tzaddik, so read that as bo yarutz, that tzaddik will run not in it, but with it. With that strength you're getting from the Shem Hashem, use that to move, run and achieve. And this is the Radiona on this. Migdol Shem Hashem. God's name is a tower of strength. Facing God, that gives you strength. Yoshe dam Shem Hashem. Keeping God's name in mind will save you from trouble. Shalom, the son of, and when you can eliminate your enemies, can it Yerutz Bishmo will therefore go and start running with it. Yerutz HaTzadik. There we go. Tzaddik, his faith in God can run without worrying about falling. As it says, Mishle said earlier, "Im tarutz," and you run, "Lo tirashel," you won't stumble. That's what you should do with that tzidkut. Derech mashal, and the metaphor here is kasher yerutz adam lo yitiv l'rod. When you're running, you can't watch where you're going. Im yesh mechshov aderech, if there are stumbling blocks along the way, and someone who's run and then tripped and completely wiped out my knees, I know what that means. Vanyan ki adam yizher malechet baderech, asher yida im yelech betachala. So you're going to be careful. You know, if you're going on a path, you don't know it, you go slowly. Im yesh magor saviv, if there's some, make sure it's protected. But tzaddik nachal nibo batuach b'Hashem. Being a tzaddik means having faith in God and being able to just run. Ki lo tona alav ra'ah, because nothing bad will happen. V'im yifkeu fega yinatzav mimenu, and if something happens, then he'll be safe from it. Yesh zifrosh, bo yeruch tzaddik. That you should interpret that the tzaddik runs with it, ki bitachon Hashem yitbarach, as a promise from Hashem. Mitzeh koach b'nefesh tzaddik. The tzaddik will have the strength, lerutz, to run, lo yo'ev, not to tire, rachmana litzlan, ki yachliv koach litroch v'la'avod gam. No, gam, there should be a period there. And who gain the strength to keep working night and day with the Hashem, will not become tired. Ki libo batuach b'Hashem, to have faith in God, yodea ki neman ba'al malchto l'shalem schar po'atel. That the master of the work can be trusted to pay your wages. And so the work is endless. It's hard. You're never done. But you have faith, you'll have the strength to carry on. And that pasuk about Yachalifu Koach is from Yeshaya, where he promises Ya'ufu Narim that the youth tire and are exhausted, Bachrim Koshul Yachashelu, the young will stumble. The Koye Hashem Yachalifu Koach. Those who have faith in Hashem will increase their strength. Ya'alu Eber Kinesharim, they'll soar like eagles. Yerutzu Vlayigo, they'll run and not become tired. Yalchu Vlayofu, they'll go and not be exhausted. And that's where we get the famous Midrash, or the famous Mishnah rather, Rabbi Tarfon. The day is short, and there's a lot of work. Workers are all lazy, but the reward is great. And the master, the boss, is pressuring him. So therefore, he would say, Lo alecha hamlacha ligmor lo atah ben chorin lehibatel mimena. You can sing that, right? You don't have to finish.
That's from Pirkei Avot, right?
That is pretty good. Right, we're quoting Pirkei Avot here, Perek Bet. That's Rabbi Tarfon. All right, there's a lot of work. You don't have to finish it, but you're not free to not do it. You have to take responsibility. The explain the metaphor. If you learn much Torah, there's much reward. Neman hu ba'al melachtecha lishalem lecha schar po'atecha. Yehuda quoted that, and that the boss is, it can be trusted to pay the reward. It will be there. That the actual reward is in the far future. Your job now is to keep working. Don't be lazy, and rely on the migdol oz that is Shem Hashem. That is Torah strength, but don't stay inside of it. You're going to end up in trouble. Go, Yerut Sadiq. Go out and run. Go keep working. And then he continues and says, Hon Ashir Kiyatuzo, that the wealth of the rich is like a fortress, a Choman Nisgavah B'maskito, and like a towering wall, the B'maskito. And that's the question what maskit means. What's a maskit? Here, our Torah translates his own imagination, and that's from the Malbim. The mosquito. Sacha means to look out. Morel, it's your aleva dimeon, talking about one's thoughts, one's imagination. Amash says, Yeshaya, your lovely visions that you're having. It's imagination. So, in that sense, that the wealthy imagine their wealth is a fortress, it's an illusion. Because the true Migdal is the Shem Hashem that we said in the previous pasuk. Matsuda makes it does something very interesting. He says maskit is actually from the commandment at the end of Parsha Bahar. What is maskito? And you know haratzuf b'tzfat avanim. It means a layer of stones. Lashon sachach, same root as schach on top of a sukkah, something that's covering. Kamu Evan maskit. Evan maskit is from the end of Parsha Bahar. We did that a couple of weeks ago. It says, Lo tasu lachem elilim. Don't make idols. Upesa masibat lo takimu lachem. And don't set up statues and images. The Evan maskit, and a stone of maskit. Lo tenu b'artzachem, l'shachar. Don't set up this a stone of maskit in your land to bow to it. From your God.
What's a stone of mesquite? What's
That's
that?
what we say. That's so Rashi says, maskit is lashon kisui, meaning covering. As sakoti, to cover what my hand, shemechasina karka brisbat avanim. So that's the origin of the fact that we don't bow down on, even on Yom Kippur on the floors directly. So here it's taking as a paving stone. Specifically, it's a stone on the ground that you're bowing on.
Oh.
Okay? And Ibn Ezra says, you know, not quite. It's a covering stone, but not covering the ground, but covering each other. It's a pile of stones. And this is Ibn Ezra from the Sifra, Lot Nivartzachem. What is this? Ze Mishpat Avodat Kochavim B'Markolos. This is don't serve Mercury, the Roman god. What does that mean? It says, Lot Takimu, right? And Evan Maskit is Elo HaMarkolos, Shagabe Adrachim. This is the shrines to Marcellus, to Mercury, that's at crossroads, at the sides of the road. What is that? So,
Yeah, the reason I ask about mesquite used to be a store that was formed by Moshe Dayan's wife called Mesquite. You remember that, Ruthie? It
there's
was
also a restaurant called Mesquite on,
like
what's that street in Jerusalem? On
the one on Mesquite was a really pretty building.
where's Mesquite?
It
What is
was
it?
off of Carthium.
What's the big street that we always?
Yafo, King George.
No, the one like right near the where the main street.
Ben
Ugh,
Yehuda?
ooh. No.
Is
Like if you're in the German colony, like, you know,
yeah, Emek
Emek Rephaim, that street
Rafi.
has a mesquite.
The
Yeah.
mesquite, okay.
Oh, really?
Well, here we're not supposed to make mesquite, okay? It's a bad thing because it's a shrine to Mercury. What does that mean? So here's
Didn't
what.
know.
Name stores then? Why would they name a store that?
I don't know.
I'll have to
Okay,
ask somebody.
so let's look at this maskit here. This is Mishnah Sanhedrin. Haveda. So it's a kind of a vodazara. Echad oved, mezabeach. Whether you're serving it, you're offering. Echad mekater, offering incense. Echad menaseach, offering libation. Echad mishtachaveh, or anyone bowing. Makab below, below, and treating it as a god. Va'omer lo eliata, saying, "This is my god." Well, that's Avodah Zarah. Specifically, Hazorek Eben Lamarkalis, throwing stones to the shrine of Mercury. Zoe Avodato, that's what it is. Okay, and Rashi says, what's a Markalis? It's Sadim Shlosh Avanim Achat Mikan Achat Mikan Achat Mamah. You have a pile of stones, specifically two stones, one on top. Agabeyim Bekorin Ota Markalis, that is Markalis. Ovdin Otab is Rikat Avanim, and you pile more stones on top of that. Pile of stones,
So
right?
that's funny because we still put stones on like grave mark, you know, like a grave.
Yeah, right. That's true.
You would
But
think we
see, the
would
question
want
is, that's
to do
not meant as a shrine, though. So
that. No.
you have to look at this mark, this mesquite here. It's a stack of stones side of the road, right? Passerbys would add stones to the pile, right? And that's it, you know, this specifically in the time of Gemara was meant as a shrine to Mercury, who is the Roman god. Was the god of tradesmen and thieves, of wayfarers from Merx, which is merchandise, and identified with the Greek Hermes, which is the god of commerce and markets and roads, etc. And I'll say that we went hiking in the Rockies, and there are these rock piles are all over the place. Everyone does this. You're walking on a trail, everyone makes little piles, you pile, and here's my children adding to the pile. Before I knew about this whole mercury thing here, okay?
Do you think this is connected to that?
Well, that's the idea is that, well, Gus says, look, why do we make little piles of stones on the side of the road, right? They look innocent. They're trail markers. Okay, I was here. It's a way of saying I was here. So the conservationists hate that because they want you to leave nature the way it was. But it's a very short trip from appreciating the trail markers or the help that trail marker offers the traveler to appreciating the God of travelers. And that's where it goes. It becomes not just I was here, but here's a little note that I made it this far. Thank you, oh God of trail. So here's an article actually about what do stacked rocks on the trail mean? Stacked rocks, more commonly known as cairns, CAIRN, placed on a trail signify they're on track. The reason why people track today stack stones are for spiritual purpose. Supposedly native cultures have used stone stacks to honor deities. Buddhist writer defined cairns as a form of worship and way to commune with a force of nature to ask for balance in life. Probably be the reason why there are a group of people who believe the stones are a vehicle for prayer. That's not just Mercury. This is kind of universal. Because when you're going along the way, I was here, you were here, lots of people were here, and suddenly the stone bank has its own significance, this pile of rocks. And that's why Zurich Edmund Lamarckalis, piling stones on is forbidden. And Abodazara says that, Abne Beit Merkelis Bamen Yesro, why are they forbidden? Naseh kemigdal avodat kochavim. This becomes basically a little tower for Avodah Zarah. Where she says, Sofot al Merkat Katan, someone adding just one more stone on there, Lasot Merkelis Gadol, eventually makes it bigger. Yisru mishum avodat kochavim atzmo. Right? And it's like you're coming pretty close to the Avodah Zarah by putting it. So, those are my kids over there adding their stones. We didn't have that in mind, but think we're going to owe a carbon chata when Mashiach comes. So what's the so that what is that Eben Maskid means? Okay. And so Rabbi Lam, Norman Lam, talks about this. That this is, don't worship the God of tradesmen. As he says, with this interpretation of the sages, the Bible passage assumes dimensions and becomes extremely meaningful to Jews of all times and for us as well. For Mercury, Marcellus was a pagan god of the merchants, the idol of commerce. And that is what the Torah and that and what the Torah thus tells us, if the Torah is to be just ceremony and not a way of life which governs our conduct in business, right? And that's the problem with the Ashir here, right? The Ashir is trusting in the Maskit here, maybe from in Shul, but he's got his own way of acting in terms of business. And if it's not a way of life which governs our conduct of business and trade wills and shul, then we are no better than the worshippers of Marcellus. If God and Torah have no place in the professional life and business life of the Jew, then such a Jew is in effect worshiping business and trade and itself, a devout communicant of the cult of Mercury, the god of commerce. This is a challenge of today's Sidra, either God or Mercury. There's no middle position. Either you're a Jew all day and all week, or you're a pagan, even when covered by a big talus. Everyone is against dishonesty and for good citizenship. But that's perhaps why the peculiar form of religious service, the idol Mercury, was stoning him, right? Adding more stones. You disturb Mercury by throwing rocks at him. In other words, when you denounce dishonesty, when you reject open act, lack of ethics, at the same time immunize business life from the world of Torah, you are still worshiping idol. Yes, even when throwing rocks at Mercury, one worships him, provided that his domain, business and commerce, is kept out of God's jurisdiction. This is not part of the same.
But Danny, we do pray for Parnassa and stuff like
Pray for
that.
Parnassa, but not as an end in and of itself. Sorry, I gotta edit this. That paragraph better. It should be a separate paragraph. Okay, there we go. And so that's what it means. Hon Ashir Kiyatuzo. The rich see their wealth as their source of strength, Consider this maskit, this shrine to Mercury. He's claiming not to believe in the shrine to Mercury. He works for Hashem, but he's just a pagan in a big talus. Work hard. No, but know that the source of your stamina and your strength is the Shem Hashem, and know what you're working for. So then she continues. Don't be too proud of yourself. That's the other side that keeps you from growing. Ish. Pride goes before destruction. Lifnei kavod anava, but humility comes before honor. Meshiv devar b'terem yishma. What does that mean? Someone who answers something before he listens. Ability, that's stupid. Luchli ma'ar li'en is embarrassing. When we talked about like stopping to listen, right? But meshiv devar b'terem yishma, answering before you've actually listened, that just ends up with being wrong. And we've talked about this. Lifnei sheva yigba lev ish. We've said that before in Perek Tet Zayin. Usually translated as pride goeth before a fall. That humility is the goal of what we talked about, the Mesilat Yesharim, the path of the righteous, right? The direction I should be going and growing in ends up in with anava. And we quoted that in the Gemara Avodah Zarah. Oh, that's right. It's the same problem. Obviously, I didn't edit this well. There we go. Gemara Pliget Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi argues that what's the ultimate goal of our moral or ethical development? And he says, Anava gedola mikula, humility. We bring all of them, as it says in Yeshaya, Ruach Hashem Elokim alai. Ya'an Mashach, Ruach Hashem Elokim Alai Ya'an, that the Spirit of God rested upon me, Mashach Hashem Oti, God anointed me, Levaser Anavim, to give the news to the Anav, to the humble. Chasidim lo ne'amar, doesn't say to the Chasidim, El Anavim, Lamat Hashanavag Gula Mikulam, that the greatest person someone is Anav. And Mesilat Yesharim continues on this. We have kept talking about how bad it is to be too haughty. Don't be too proud of yourself. And from that, you can tell how good humility is. Now we're going to talk about what humility as a goal is. Not a tool, it is actually a goal. I want to be the person who's an anav. And we'll understand pride. Anava is not thinking about yourself. Famous quote, right? Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking about yourself less. It's the opposite of what pride is, we think it's all about me. What we can do if I am a person who is anav, the opposite of what pride is, and that leads to leads to honor, and here it helps us learn. Being too proud to listen leads to error and humiliation. It's ability, it's stupid, it's folly, buklima, and it's shame. And if you want to become wiser, you want to become better anyway, you have to stop and listen. And this was an article some person did study about the 43 to 57 ratio. You heard of this?
Yeah.
It's far too exact a ratio. Think of more of the 40-60. If I'm in a conversation, I'm trying to sell something, trying to convince you of something. I should talk for 40% of the time and listen 60% of the time. If it's all me talking, I'm not going to convince you. Excuse me. So I don't know if you're convinced at all by anything I'm saying, because I'm clearly talking more than my 40%. But several years ago, Gong Research Lab decided to analyze 25,537 sales. Goal of answering question, what talking listening ratio makes for great sales? They found the highest converting talk to listen ratio on sales calls approximately 43 to 57. And that's not approximate. I don't believe that makes significant digits. So I'm going to estimate 40 to 60. Inversely, the least successful sale pitch is when the salesman talked for more than 60%. This means that you're most likely to persuade someone, get them to come around your point of view if you listen more than you speak. Let silence fall, silence is the space where conversation grows. The same way that words in this page are defined by the space around it, silence incubates our ideas and catalyzes discussion. But people say more just because someone stopped talking doesn't mean they're done communicating. So that's the term yishma, meshiv davar b'terem yishma. Answering before you've listened, you're not going to learn anything. You quoted Rabbi Kiva before, it says, Rabbi Kiva Omer, siyag l'chachma shtika. The fence that guards your wisdom is silence. And then we keep going. Because you work hard, you're studying, you're doing all the right things, and it seems like you're not getting anywhere. So Mishlei continues. Ruach ish yechalkel machalehim. Person's spirit can sustain them when he's sick. Ruach nechaya, down spirit, crushed spirit, mi yisa'ena, who can bear it? It's bad to be depressed. And he says this. And Rambam says about this, ruach hanoset gara. Now, if you have optimism, if your spirits are up, then that'll help support your body. Yam yish choli begaveh, that even if you're sick in your body, gadol koach haruach, your spirit can support it, lechalkel to machal, and support it through the sickness. Tin lo koach, the spoil of achalifa opens. I'll give him the strength to endure and to become stronger. But maruach nacha, but if you're depressed, you have a crushed spirit, shu choli haruach, that's a sickness of the mind, miyaseh, nothing can bring that up. Sh'az yigal choli, gam begaveh, then you're sick in your body also, as it says in Mishlei, in Perek Yud Zayin, two parakim ago, ruach nechiyah tiyabesh gera, right? Depressed spirit dries out the bones. And the Shai Teshuvah says on that, you know, if you're feeling down, then you're not going to be in a position to be able to improve.
So
How
you're
about
feeling down what?
you feel down, you're not going to be able to improve, right? That's part of the problem with depression is you don't, you know, people tell you, oh, just cheer, go do something, you'll feel better. It's like, you don't have the wherewithal to even do anything to get to the point where you're feeling better. When someone is feeling down and crushed, stress, who can console them? What can support it? Stress and worry, depression is worse than a physical sickness. And Rav Volbe says, you know, that's the danger of learning Musar. We're learning all these things that you're supposed to do and how, you know, and you keep looking at it thinking, I'm not getting anywhere. And all you learn is how terrible you are, all the things you're doing wrong. And it makes you feel bad. And this is, excuse me, this is the Ali Shore. If I'm in Achrei Limuzman Mushach, sometimes after you've learned for a while, you don't feel like you've gotten any better. We've gone on this, we've talked about how good a person should be, but you don't feel like you got any better. Ubanaga, in both character and your actions. Lo kol chizuk, and you feel nothing improving, no support for your daily actions. Adarav, the opposite is true. Nidmel liyakarze, it seems to set this precious person who's trying so hard, keep matzavo halechu medaldel, that your situation is getting worse and worse. Because you learn more about the things you should be doing, you don't feel like you're getting anywhere. Barov liyityayesh, it comes close to despair, milubin musar, from learning all this musar. Shelo ho'ilo, that's not helping. Benotel lirot, bo bitol zman, it looks like all a waste of time. Don't think that way. Etzem pulata limud hu betatakara. That the actions of learning Musar, learning all this, is subconscious. Roshem tetachari enum rugash. So, and obviously, if it's the changes that happen subconsciously aren't noticed consciously by definition. Meidach, on the other hand, mitgalim b'limud Musar, yoter v'yoter migraot midot. The opposite, what you're actually learning, what you're looking at, are all the things that you're doing wrong. And when you're learning Musar, you see the defects and the character traits and the actions that you didn't realize were so bad before this. It looks like you're getting worse. And all this learning isn't helping. A tamun b'limud musar paradox, like that word, paradox. That learning in learning musar is a paradox. Hashba muka, that deep inside, derech teta kara, subconsciously halachet mit mishtaprot midot ragab mibli shegish, that you are becoming a better person without even noticing it. That's all subconscious. And your defects and faults, that but every day you seem to notice more faults. That represents inside a really an improvement. So it appears to someone who's learning sir, that they're just getting worse. Or im kihu mitale But everyone outside, everyone looking at you, sees that you're clearly becoming a better person. So don't become depressed. Ain makom liyush, there's no place for despair. Yalimud yavesh kasher yeh, however dry learning the learning may be, liyavi klal hipalut, even if it doesn't generate any excitement. Oh, you say yalimud bipalut, or you're really enthusiastic, excited about it. But you don't find that it's actually affecting your day-to-day actions. Learning it will do what it'll do. Just by reading the words of Mishlei is a good start. It's making it having effect. Musa is one of the wonders of learning. So that's what Rabbi Tarfon is saying. He says, "Lo lechem l'chalik more. Your job is to finish." Brother, you're not going to be able to finish it, but you can't stop working at it. But the boss who's watching your work will certainly reward you. Don't be lazy. Let's keep learning, and we'll continue next week.
Sounds good.
Good muster.
There you go.